You know, it is every pastor's dream to discover, to write, or to find already written the ultimate, surefire, no-fail church growth manual. My goodness, wouldn't that be amazing? You could make a lot of money. It would be one that would outline step by easy step the way to grow a church, a large church, a medium church, a church that would be on fire. Not only a large church, but a committed, dedicated church. The church at times has indeed sought to find that ultimate marketing and publicity ploy, that tool to draw in new converts. Our bookstore shelves are lined with the latest, and we hope the most greatest of books that offer ways to bring new members. And in today's world, I get the latest steps, ideas, critical views, etc., etc., from church leaders, from Church Leaders International. If I've got all kinds of stuff, I get them in an email every couple of weeks. They come. And if I'm not at my computer, guess what? They come to that little silly phone. So I've got them at my hands all the time. Equally as important to some has been the notion of drawing in critics and enemies of the church so that they would be silent about their doubts and attacks on the church. A very successful businessman, a media tycoon, and baseball team owner comes to my mind as someone who openly questions the need for anything religious, labeling those people who follow and practice religious faith as weaklings. Oh, in this world that we live in, we cry out as the Christian world, to win him would be to silence him. Even better, if God would somehow make this man known that God exists, that would be enough. Oh, if only God would come down and prove that God really exists. Oh my God, goodness, think about it. How many times have we heard that or thought it ourselves? I sure do wish God would come on. I sure do wish God would come and show somebody something. I sure do wish that God would let that person know something. You see, not only this man, but there are naysayers and doubters all over our world. And we all say, oh my goodness, why ain't God doing something? You know what? God is doing something. It's in the song that Miss Ann sung this morning. Touch through me. Spirit, come Holy Spirit through me. We are the church. We are the Bible. We are the Word. It's our job. Guess what? We are God and Jesus to people. We are the example that we're supposed to be to others. Here in our word today, the prophet Isaiah calls out to God with the same sort of wondering. He says, if only you would come down in a mighty way to make yourself known. He says, I want you to tear open the heavens, and God makes an appearance would be fantastic, some think, just like Isaiah does, just to rip open and let yourself be known, God. Make it good, Lord. Get people's attention. Let the mountains quake and make it in a way that lets the people throughout the world know. Just shake it up. Yet almost as suddenly as he wonders and asks aloud for such a sign, he wants the world to shake. Isaiah sighs and he says this. He says, you are the God who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. It is here that Isaiah declares that our knowing God is in our relationship with God. That our knowing God is in our relationship with God. God is real in our daily lives when we seek God and seek to know the way that God is at work in our lives. When we seek, when we know. You see, it is in our attitude about things that can so easily be taken for granted that we declare, this is of God. You see, Isaiah is like the members of the church who watch as people fall away. It could be just like this church or any church around. Knows that perhaps we have not done quite enough, that we have continued in our sin, and through our own sinfulness, we are taken away. Isaiah realizes that God continues to make God's presence known through our faith and our faith in action. What are we doing? Are we doing enough? Are we doing anything? It is in our daily living that God's power and presence will be realized. As so many have said before, we become the sermon taken to the streets. We become His hands and His feet. We are that sermon each and every week. We are that Bible that somebody gets to read. We are the Bible, and the words are our actions of living, of loving, and a caring God. That's a scary statement. We are the Bible, and our words are the actions of the living, loving, caring God. That's our responsibility. That's who we are. This week, think about how you've behaved. Can you think of one time when maybe you might didn't do something that you should have done real nice? Can you think about a time you might have said something or done something and somebody actually seen you or heard you? And you think about, you know, that was probably not the best use of that. That was probably not the best I could have done. Yet, like Isaiah, the church can declare, God is still our God, and we declare that God is the potter, and we are the clay. We are human. We are vessels. And the clay is the analogy that God takes and molds us and shapes us, but it also lets us know that what is clay? It's a brittle something. When you touch it, it cracks. It lets us know that we are still in His hands, that He's not through with us yet. He is the potter and we are the clay. All of us, each and every one of us, are the work of His hand, the work of God's hands. The church continues to be the station where people can cry out for mercy and know that God's love is merciful. When we cry out for mercy, we know that God's love is merciful for us. And when you and I are ready, when the church as a whole is ready, when the people of God are ready, God welcomes us back home. You know, isn't that an amazing God that will take everything that we dish out, will take all of our accusations, all of our hatred, all of our misdeeds, all of the things we think sometimes that we do in God's name when we're really not, and He takes us back just as we are. When we say we come before His throne of grace and ask for His forgiveness because He is a merciful God. You know, we got enough people to fill this place up a time or two. But for some reason or another, we choose. We make choices each and every day of our life of what we will do. We choose to go somewhere else. We choose to stay at home. We choose to not get involved. We choose to not make a commitment. We choose to wonder why that neighbor or that friend that used to sit on the pew with us is not here anymore. And we say, did we call them? Did we say we missed you? Did we send them a little note and let them know how much we care? Have we seen them in the neighborhood, at the store, or met somebody in Walmart? Everybody meets somebody in Walmart along the way. I went to the food line Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I met half the church. In the parking lot, in the store, and coming out. I mean, it was amazing. And one of them said, we could have church in the parking lot. I said, there's about as many here. But, you know, people, you know, we think about where you see people and how, what do we say, what do we do, how are we living our life? Are we the Bible? We can just turn it around a little bit, change a few of the words. We are the Bible, it tells us, but are we the Bible? Are we behaving like the Bible? Are we behaving like God's children? Let's think about that this week. Let us think about what it is we can do to help somebody, whether we see them again or not, whether they ever come back here, but maybe they need to be somewhere else. Maybe they need to be in another church. But we need to pray for them because we are all God's church. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this day, for this word, for your being. Allow us, Lord, to go from this place this day into this week ahead with love and understanding and a commitment to serve you in all that we do. Be with us now and remind us that we are the Bible each and every day of our lives. Be with us now. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is hymn number 706, Soon and Very Soon. Know that the altar is always open for you to come and pray. Stand as we sing hymn number 706.